Welcome to A Different Way of Traveling. This is a podcast where we discuss travel for persons with disabilities and special needs in South Africa and beyond with our host, Lois Strachan. Join us as we share inspiring stories of people who travel, exciting, accessible travel experiences, and showcase service providers who will accommodate those with special needs. And now, on with the show.
Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Traveling, a podcast on accessible travel brought to you by Accessible South Africa. I'm Lois Strachan. Today we're going to be looking at the sport of adaptive paragliding as we celebrate the launch of adaptive paragliding into South Africa. We're chatting to Matthew van Zyl from Square One Paragliding, and we're chatting to Taryn Tomlinson from Able to Travel, both of whom were involved with the launch of the sport. Right, let's learn a little bit more and meet Matthew and Taryn. Today on A Different Way of Traveling, we're chatting to Matthew van Zyl from Square One Paragliding, and we're going to be chatting to Taryn Tomlinson. Recently, we introduced adaptive paragliding into South Africa for the first time, and we're going to be chatting to Matthew and to Taryn about that particular exciting inclusive travel experience. Matthew, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Louise.
It's great to have you with us, and thank you for giving us the time and a little bit of information. We're looking forward to hearing about your company and finding out a little bit more about adaptive paragliding. So maybe the first thing to ask is to ask you a little bit about who you are and about Square One Paragliding.
Okay, well, my name's Matthew van Zyl. I run an aviation school called Square One Paragliding. Personally, I have been paragliding since 2015, and in the last few years, I've been privileged enough to travel the world with this sport. It really has opened my eyes, spread my wings to what's possible in this world. I've been places like Kenya and the east coast of Africa. I have been to the Central Valley of Utah in the United States of America. And I have also flown all over Europe, namely the Dolomites in Italy, the valleys of France. I've been to the low hills of Germany. I really have been opened to the world of opportunities that I can have with just something as simple as an airplane in my backpack.
How did you get into paragliding? What was it that got you interested?
How did I get into paragliding? Well, boys will be boys. I've always had a dream of such that I want to fly. I want to fly high in the sky, just like the birds I see when I look up into the clouds. And then I started looking at what kind of aviation would I like to be into, which I realized paragliding is the most affordable form of aviation. Not just that, but like I have said, have mentioned, is that it can fit in a backpack. So really, the world is your oyster. You can climb, hike up onto a mountain, face into the wind, set up your gear, and go for a lovely soaring session.
So some of our listeners might not be familiar with what paragliding is, and particularly with you mentioning that you can fit a paraglide into a backpack. Can you just give us a short description of what actually is paragliding?
Well, a paraglider is a highly engineered piece of fabric. It is an elliptical-shaped aerofoil, which just means that it is kind of like an aeroplane wing above your head. So it is stitched together in such a way that it forms openings, cells, or baffles, if you would like to think about it as that, which inflates with the wind. So we call it a ram air inflation. So what you would do is you would find a gentle, easy slope on the side of the mountain, and you would inflate your wing into the oncoming wind. Just like a bird, just like an airplane, we need to launch into the wind. So by pulling up this piece of material, this elliptical shaped wing above your head, by pulling it up into the wind in turn enters the cells, and that gives the wing pressure, and that turns it into the shape of a solid wing. So it is pretty much then, once it is pressurized, an aeroplane wing above your head.
How are you connected to the wing?
Yes. As the pilot, you are connected. You're sitting in a harness, and that is connected via lines to your paragliding wing above your head. So once everything is nicely pressurized and it forms the shape of an aeroplane wing above your head, you are then attached via those lines and simply take one or two steps forward and into the air off the mountain.
That then, of course, brings us through to adaptive paragliding.
Yes.
So how did you and Square One Paragliding get into adaptive paragliding and host the first adaptive paraglide in South Africa? Tell us the story of that.
Well, adaptive paragliding is something that I have seen on my travels in the United States. A few years back, when I was still an assistant instructor, I seen this wheelchair / sleigh. It's a funny looking three-wheel trike where a passenger gets seated in and clipped in. And as I walked up closer, I could see that it was a special needs passenger that couldn't use their legs. And I thought to myself, wow, how brilliant is this? That even if we are physically limited, we can still get in the air and fly and enjoy this magical experience. So the more I thought about it, I came back to South Africa, back to my own country, and I realized we don't have anything available like this. We have a lot of disabilities and a lot of special needs, and they are not able to enjoy something like what we can offer. And I said to myself, well, this needs to change. It's always, you can't, I can't do this. I'm excluded from doing this. And I asked myself, why? The equipment is available. Why are we not offering this in our country? Which led me to bring into the country the first wheelchair. It is an adaptive paragliding wheelchair, which we call the fly chair. And this allows me to strap a passenger into the front, and then me as the pilot take over the controls of running down the mountain. For them, it won't be possible to use their legs to come down. So instead, we put them on a nice, easy trike so that they can take the stress out of it, and I can concentrate on what I have to do to bring the wing up and get us into the air.
So the logistics sound both familiar and yet a little bit different from what the experience of paragliding would be normally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can actually take part in, you know, are there any disabilities that are included or excluded? What are your thoughts around that so far?
Well, personally, I don't like the word exclusion. I try not to exclude anybody or anything. And now what the brilliance is of the chair is that you're nicely strapped in and comfortable on top of the wheels. So any special needs, any disabilities, you can't use your, like we have said before, you can't use your legs, or perhaps like yourself, you don't have the vision to see what's going on. There's nothing better than strapping in, knowing that you're secure, knowing that you're safe, knowing that this is going to wheel us off the side of the mountain. So to reiterate there, I would like to keep everything inclusive and say to anybody with any kind of special needs or any kind of disability to come and give it a try. There's nothing as easy as sitting in a chair and letting the pilot control the wing, and 1, 2, 3, we are in the air.
I have to say, the taking off, that I can understand. You know, it makes a lot of sense because you're using the wind to give you lift and to get up into the air. What is the landing experience like?
Well, the landing experience is actually very straightforward, very simple, very easy. As we come closer down to the ground, what you would usually do is try and get out of the harness and try and get your legs pointed down to the ground. So that would be the first point of contact, so that you would minimize any damage to your body. Whereas now we've got a chair to take control and take over that process. So it is simply as easy as 1, 2, 3, and we're on the ground. It is a very soft landing. And now with the addition of the wheels, it doesn't matter the terrain. If it is long grass, if it is a rocky side of the mountain, if it is a nice paved road, we can literally tackle any kind of terrain and make sure that our landing will always be the same. It will always be as easy as 1, 2, 3.
So the wheelchair that you're using is a multi-terrain, well, it's not really a wheelchair, but it is technically a wheelchair as well. It's the fly chair.
It is. The fly chair has a bit more rugged wheels, and which does allow us to tackle a bit more of a difficult terrain. So we've got a big thread, a nice thick thread, and a big diameter of the wheel so that we could ride over any rocks if in case we do encounter any rocks on landing or so forth.
And to what level are you as the pilot then able to communicate? So if I were in the fly chair, and we were paragliding and coming in to land, would you be able to communicate with me and give me warning that that was about to happen?
Yes, very clear. As the pilot, I will be seated in the back, and you as the passenger are strapped into the front of me. So we are about 30 to 40 centimeters apart, and that allows for us to easily communicate with each other without having to shout over the air noise. And at every step, I like to communicate with my passenger and let them know exactly what is going on, what the next step will be, and what they can expect from the next step to alleviate any kind of nerves, any kind of angst that there might be, seeing as this is the first time that you would be trying something like this. So I keep my communication throughout the flight. From the time that we launch to the time that we land, we're continuously communicating, saying what's going on around us now. What is the air doing? Are we sinking? Are we lifting in the air? Is it warm air? Is it cold air? And for me, that really gives a feeling of being part of the whole experience, not just simply an observer strapped into the fly chair, but to create that feeling of becoming part of the experience, part of nature. We are becoming one with our paraglider.
It sounds wonderful. So thank you. I think that communication, particularly when we're talking about a visual impairment, the communication of what's happening around us certainly does do a lot to ease anxiety. And also, you know, the element of audio description. So it's not just an experience that is tactile, but you get a multi-sensory description of what's happening. So that's a great thing to hear as well. Now, we're recording this at the end of October 2021. And it's really only been a matter of weeks since you introduced adaptive paragliding into South Africa and into Cape Town. Tell us about that first flight.
The first flight in South Africa went down without a hitch. What an amazing experience to get this chair. It was a while. It was a few weeks of waiting for customs, waiting for delivery, and all of a sudden the chair was there. And all of a sudden, the weather was good. And all of a sudden, we had a lot of people coming out to experience this new, or to take part of this new experience available in Cape Town. I must say thank you to the South African National Parks and for the City of Cape Town for giving us a special commercial permit to operate on Signal Hill and be the first company to be able to do adaptive paragliding flights. So that takes us back up to Signal Hill. The weather is good. The wind is in our face. And we've got a couple of guys saying, wow, let's be part of this new experience. What a fantastic day it was. We put some smiles on some faces. Taryn Tomlinson came to fly with us. I'm sure she can tell you more about her experience. And yes, like you've rightly said, it was only a few weeks ago, but we're keeping that momentum and we're putting it on the fast track to get as many people in South Africa that has never experienced this before or never even thought that they might be able to fly one day to come to Signal Hill and come fly with us.
Well, hopefully getting the podcast out will also help to get a few more people aware of the fact that the experience is open to them. So hopefully we'll be able to assist you with keeping up that momentum.
Thank you very much. I say the more the merrier. Bring one, bring them all. Come along, have a nice day with us in Cape Town. And what better way than to break the bonds of gravity for the afternoon? What a better way to fly like a bird.
Absolutely true. Matthew, if people would like to contact you or find out more about Square One paragliding and particularly about the adaptive paragliding, because I'm sure you do more than just the adaptive paragliding as well, how can they contact you?
Okay, well, if you're interested and you would like to contact me, you can go have a look on my website. It is squareoneparagliding.co.za. People can directly contact me, Matthew Van Zyl, and it's 084-361-7279. Alternatively, we are all over social media. Our Facebook is Square One Paragliding South Africa, and our Instagram handle is @SquareOneParagliding.
And just to confirm, that's SQUARE and the number one.
Yes, that's square with a number one and then paragliding. So it's square1paragliding.co.za.
Perfect. Thank you. And we'll include that in the show notes as well and hopefully link to some of your social media.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
If someone were listening to this and going, you know, that sounds really like so much fun, but I'm still a little bit nervous, what would you say to them to encourage them to come and give adaptive paragliding a try?
Well, it is completely normal to have nerves. You've actually never done this before. You've never been in the air with no kind of mode of propulsion. So being a little bit nervous is a perfectly normal thing. We run you through the process once we're on the hill. We run through the process of clipping in, what would be required from you, what is the next few steps. And I'm amazed that every single time I get comments in the first 10 seconds of being in the air saying, this is it, This is what I've been so afraid of all my life. So I just want to say that a little bit of nerves is a great thing. It keeps you awake. It keeps you aware. It keeps you, but it does keep you awake. It keeps you aware. And a little bit of nerves is a normal thing. Once you're in the air and you see how relaxing it really is, it's the best seat in the house. And trust me that we have the skills required to take you off gently and land you safely.
And what for you, as someone who's been involved in paragliding for some time, what is the feeling like of being up there in the skies?
I can't describe the feeling to you. It is out of this world. You really feel like you have become, for those few minutes, you have become part of nature. There is no greater feeling than floating high above the ground with no form of propulsion, with a little bit of wind blowing through your hair. You really do see why the birds sing every morning. They can't wait to do it all over again.
And I think on that note, we should probably ask Taryn about her experiences being part of that initial flight in Cape Town. So, hi there, Taryn, and welcome back to the podcast. It's been a long time. How are you doing?
Hello. Good, good, good. I cannot complain. The sun is shining. Summer's about to be on our doorstep, so I'm very happy.
Good to hear, and it's great to have you back with us on the podcast. It's been about a year, I think, since we last chatted to you.
Yeah, time flies, huh? It had been, just shortly after, I think, coming back from Kilimanjaro, if I'm not mistaken, or a couple of months later.
That's right. And in fact, it sounds almost odd. We were talking about you heading up into the skies by climbing a mountain. And today we're going to be talking about another way of getting you up into the skies. So
down from the top of the mountain. You see, I've come to see that it's too much work even just to get to the top now. If I still put in that extra effort to get down, why not just fly down?
Well, there we go. Research for next time you go up Kilimanjaro.
No, Matthew and I already spoke about this. It's a great possibility that we could paraglide from Kilimanjaro. I'd do it.
Well, let's take a step back. For anyone who's listening who doesn't know you, tell us a little bit about who Taryn Tomlinson is and Able to Travel.
How do I keep this brief? So basically, Taryn is, can I speak about myself in the third person? That seems terribly
you can speak about yourself in the first person as well.
So I'd say that, essentially I'm a person who is a creative and who uses media in order to draw attention to change, essentially, from a social perspective. And so, you know, whether it's via writing, I'm a writer, so I've been writing for Mikateko Media on accessibility for Mango Juice, the award-winning magazine when we still had a mango. and then also now recently for the Daily Maverick newspaper, but I've been writing for various publications and that over the years. And then as well as a television host on SABC2, which was the first 26 episode that aired this year, called Activate on Disability Awareness, and just looking at what is out there in terms of access for persons with disabilities, but also what the credible people, incredible people around South Africa who are diversely abled are doing to change things in their areas and their businesses. And I mean, we were very, very honored to have you as well. So you're one of those incredible stories. That has also been an amazing journey. But before, that's been my foundation, the Bambini Dream Foundation. That has been my focus since 2012. It's just mentoring this youth. And if I think about, just to sum it up, it would be, you know, I'm very focused on, in whichever small way I can, to make a difference, and then use media in order to do that.
Great. I agree. Sometimes it's really hard to summarize a very active and diversely engaged life into a few short sentences. So well done.
Well, and I didn't even mention able to travel. Oh my gosh. I mean, of course, in the hospitality industry, like, that was the question, right? But you see, it's confusing. I need to actually write down like an elevator pitch. So able to travel as well. One of the other jobs that I do is I assess hotels from, you know, the perspective of universal accessibility, because I just find that a lot of the times, even though, you know, places are stated to be accessible, I mean, we know that that is a really broad term, and usually that is defined by able-bodied people. And then the person with the disability is actually finding that what has been built or what is there or claimed to be accessible is not really fully functional, rendering, you know, the very product kind of useless, you know, to a large degree, depending on the person's physical ability. So I'm working with, it's really about, you know, improving the guest experience for persons with disabilities traveling in and around South Africa, whether that be, you know, local tourists or locals, or whether it be international tourists. And then looking around to creating social content as well via a television series under the name of Able to Travel, which is in development. So looking around, really promoting, you know, places and events and activities that are accessible for persons with disabilities, like paragliding, you know, adaptive paragliding.
Which sounds like an excellent place for me to jump back in and say, and adaptive paragliding indeed, because you were one of the people who were involved in the first adaptive paraglide in Cape Town. How did you get involved?
Well, Matthew, bless you. Matthew contacted me one day, and he had heard about me, read about me, and said that, you know, he is bringing over the first adaptive paraglide from France, and that he's going to be able to offer it. And he's super excited for what this means, because oftentimes with the other, you know, with the paragliding built essentially for able-bodied people, there's a higher risk of injury and getting hurt, particularly on the landing. So this is actually a chair three-wheeler with a wheel right in front and two long bars and two wheels at the back, like a standard wheelchair. and you get struck into that. And, you know, Matthew asked me if I would come in and jump and, you know, help him. And he would love me to come and jump and see what it's like and help him in the promotion. And I obviously jumped at it. And, yeah, we just clicked. I love his vision. Yep, I called up a journalist that I know, Nadine Thiran, who now works for France 24 News. And because the product was French as well, the news team loved the idea. And so they came on board. And so it was covered by France 24 News. And it was myself and Matthew and I ran a competition and gave the chance for two girls with disabilities. One is another wheelchair user and another Taryn, she's a person of short stature. So, yeah, I gave them the opportunity to be the first ever to jump, and then I went after them.
Were you nervous at all?
I wasn't nervous, but it was, but really, there is like a moment of like anxious tension when they're busy strapping you up finally on the thing. And then it's the wind, you can feel the wind is already moving the chair, like, you know, from left to right. So, and they're trying to maneuver at the back behind you. So there is that moment, I would say, just before you jump, just, you know, when everything has been, and then they start running with you, like, there is that moment of, but it's just like exhilaration, man. It's like that rush.
I'm surprised. I mean, for me, I think being visually impaired, my concern would be more the landing, I think, than the takeoff. But how did you feel feeling about that?
I also anticipated a landing that was different. It was so smooth. It was basically, you know, we get to a certain point and we come over the ocean, and then he does like a kind of turn, and then we get in line with the promenade, so that we, you know, coming up from above, and we're in line like a landing strip. And when he gets to a certain height, it's like he just pulls his cords, and it's like it just, the wind, it just like takes you down, and then it's like, bloop. And he's on the grass, and I was like, was that it?
It sounds a lot gentler than most aeroplane landings.
Oh, absolutely. No, and I was expecting a bit something a bit more, you know, exciting than that. But no, the landing was smooth, absolutely smooth. And it was just, it was an exhilarating feeling as well, because you're sitting there, and you'll be able to put your arms out and just feel what it's like to be like a bird. You know, just like you have, because you feel the wind around you and you're gliding. It's so peaceful because there's no motor or anything like that. And you're basically just being, you know, the way Matthew explains it is that you kind of glide on pockets of air that come off from the buildings and hit off from the mountain, and you find these pockets of air, and it's almost like kind of surfing, I think, in a way, you know, the more pockets you find, you can ride them for longer. But it was, yeah, it was an amazing experience. I would so recommend it to anybody.
Well, I suppose it would be, I was going to ask, would you do it again? And I suppose the answer to that would be absolutely, of course.
Absolutely. No, Matthew and I are already speaking about, we've spoken already about jumping again, and he wants to take me to jump off Devil's Peak and then come around over the mountain, over Table Mountain, and you land up in Camps Bay in front of the bungalow, where the bowling greens, in front of the bungalow restaurant in Camps Bay, Maiden's Cove side. So, yeah, I think... Hey, like as much, I would go, like it can be like a cool hobby, man. I just want like a James Bond outfit now. Like I feel like I deserve one. I think like I need like an outfit if I'm be doing this on a regular.
I was really impressed when, you know, chatting to Matthew, he was talking about how inclusive he wants the sport to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important, you know, because you mentioned it, I think, similarly when you were talking about the work that you do with Able to Travel, that sometimes something that is considered adaptive or inclusive for one sector of the community is not going to work for somebody from a different sector. And it does make things a lot more difficult. Yeah, when Matthew said, no, I don't like the word exclusive. I want this to be for anyone, no matter what their disability. I'm like, yes, I like that, because that's really what we're looking for about inclusion into sports, into activities, and into the hospitality and tourism industries.
Absolutely. It's about, you know, yes, there's such a diverse spectrum of, you know, diverse abilities or disabilities. And, you know, I hate to see it, I mean, we'll say it, but sometimes we've got to be realistic as well in the time frames of what it's going to mean in terms of time, in terms of changing people's consciousness to be able to be inclusive of absolutely everybody. But we've got to start somewhere, you know, just like the LGBTQI community started with the first three letters, you know. So we've got to keep expanding and keep making sure that, you know, via various types of initiatives, technologies, and conscientizing as well, because that's what I get mostly, you know, you mostly, and it's so sad, but it's still mostly seen as like, oh no, well, you know, we don't cater to, you know, unfortunately, we don't cater to persons with disabilities because, you know, X, Y, and Z. And it's almost just a brush aside. And I think that that's because, you know, there needs to be a shift in consciousness in terms of people really getting it. And so Able to Travel is created in a way that it's, you know, it's a fun, lighthearted luxury, you know, but also no, I wouldn't say lighthearted. It shines a spotlight, but in a way that is entertaining, so that the majority of people would want to watch it, because essentially it's about conscientizing the masses of people.
I think, you know, a lot of the problems we find is that people say, I'm sorry, but we can't accommodate you. And that often, if they make the decision to try, then it starts looking at different questions like, okay, so we can't accommodate everybody as we are now, but what small differences can, small changes can we make to make us increasingly inclusive?
Absolutely. And you know what, there's technologies, you know, even like reading, you know, in terms of Braille and stuff, there's so many things that can be done. And sometimes even for no cost, if we're looking at, you know, technologies used for automation, like building onto a website as well, you know, it's a plugin that makes it so that the letters are adapted to different sizes, you know, audio description. So this, but like you said, it boils down to a willingness to want to be open, to not say, no, we can't, but to say, you know what, we'd love to, these are our limitations, but what do you think is out there? You know, how can we, with our limitations, we'd like to start somewhere. What can we implement that is gonna, and then can we work on a plan so that in the future when we do make changes, you know, these are put in the forefront. And you know, to have people honestly do that, because they truly have a greater understanding and compassion, not just to do it as a, something to tick off your box. And then when I got to the top, once we were in the air, it was just like, I think if we played back the audio, you know, of the recording that I did, you'd hear gasping. It is just so beautiful. And, you know, we went up quite close against the mountain, and then you're just feeling, and it's like gliding, and it's, you can have a conversation because it's so quiet up there. You know, and you're just gliding on the wind and then coming over the houses. It was just like, it's peaceful, It was just an amazing experience. I'm only sad that it couldn't last longer.
How long was the flight?
Oh, man, it goes so quickly. It's about 5 to 7 minutes.
Wow. So it is, I mean, when Matthew said, you know, it could be a short flight or a longer flight. When he and I
depends were driving. On weather. Yeah, it depends on the weather, the weather conditions. Yeah. So I think that the only way to remedy that is to go paragliding more often then.
And Taryn, before I ask you, you know, if you want to share your contact details, if people want to engage with you either about the paragliding experience, about your Kilimanjaro experience, about any of the things that you've chatted to us about.
coaching.
Well, I mean, as we said, you're a woman of many diverse talents, so you do get involved in all sorts of different things. But where can people reach you?
Thank you. That was so sweet. You can, my email address is very simple. Well, firstly, starting with the social media. So any of the social media on Facebook, on Instagram, it's under my name, Taryn Tomlinson. So that's TARRYN and TOMLINSON, Tomlinson. And then for email, it's taryntom@gmail.com.
Great. Thank you.
So, I'd love to chat to anybody that's interested.
And finally, and I did ask Matthew this question, but what would you say to someone who listening to the podcast and goes, I'd love to try it, but I'm nervous? How would you encourage them to give adaptive paragliding a try?
Face the nerves. But just transmute it into excitement by simply not focusing on the fears, because the nervousness is only there because you're thinking about what could go wrong. You've got to have trust in the people that you're going with. Just decide, it's just focus on the positive, focus on the views you're going to see from there, on how awesome it's going to feel. And yeah, you know, if you just don't think about the bad stuff.
So you'd encourage people to give it a try?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I would say it's just one of those things that, you know, there's very few, particularly as a person with a disability, I mean, for me as a wheelchair user, there's very few moments that you can feel as truly as free as that. Where, yes, you're still sitting in a chair in which your arms are free and you're basically just gliding around, you know. So it's a really cool feeling.
On that note, I think Matthew Finzel from Square One Paragliding, Taryn Tomlinson from Able to Travel, thank you both. It has been absolutely fantastic to have you on the show. And thank you for sharing the experiences with us of the first adaptive paragliding in Cape Town and South Africa.
Considering what we've been talking about on this episode of the podcast, I thought it would be fun to have a travel quote related specifically to flight. So here's what Leonardo da Vinci had to say. Once you have tasted flight, you will forever walk the earth with your eyes turned skyward. For there you have been, and there you will always long to return. Thanks so much for joining us on this episode of A Different Way of Traveling. We'll see you next time.
That's it from us for this time. You can find Accessible South Africa on the web at accessiblesouthafrica.co.za, on Facebook and Instagram at Accessible South Africa, and on Twitter at Accessible SA. You can also email us at podcast at accessiblesouthafrica.co.za. Editing by Craig Strachan using Hinderberg software. Our theme music is by Lu Chil Chow, based on a motif by Lord Strachan. Credits read by Musa Izulu. Thank you for joining us on A Different Way of Traveling. We'll see you next time. Until then, happy travels.